This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg here with you on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. It's championship week. On Wednesday, the Stanley Cup final will begin between the Edmonton Oilers and the Florida Panthers, a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup final. And then on Thursday, it's game one of the NBA finals in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Pacers. And we have historical numbers in both series. Well, more so in the NBA in terms of how heavily favored the Oklahoma City Thunder are over the Indiana Pacers. They're minus 700 to win the series, and they're -9 for game number one. I went and I looked through the history of the database, which goes back to, 2002, 2003, and we've had seven times where in the NBA finals, a team has been a 9-point favorite or greater. Naturally, those teams are 7-0 against the spread, but 7-0 straight up, 4-2-1 against the spread. The two non-covers, ATS, it was a 10-point win by the Warriors over the Cavs when they were 12-point favorites, a 6-point win for the Celtics over the Lakers when they were a 9-point favorite, because we talked about 9-point favorites. But also, when you look at those games, the teams that are 9-point favorites in the NBA Finals, again, only seven times in the history of our database have we seen that. A team that is a 9-point favorite in the NBA Finals. Those teams actually get out to fast starts. And on average, they are winning the first half by a significant margin, by 7 to 8 points in the first half. And so when I look at this game number one, yes, I like the Thunder. Yes, I think the Thunder cover the 9. But I think I want to isolate this to the Thunder in the first half. And I'm comfortable laying 5 with the Thunder in the first half. And if you can shop around, find a 4.5. If this line's on the move, I have a feeling it's not going to be. And if anything, it might go the other way. And it might wind up being 5.5, whatever it is. But I think the Thunder come out to a very strong start and cover the 5 in the first half. There's also another angle to look at this game, one of the NBA Finals. The Thunder will be playing this game after a week off. And some might wonder, is it a rest versus rust scenario? The Pacers coming off that great game 6 against the New York Knicks over the weekend. Yep, they're going to have several days off as well. They're going to have about 4 days of rest. But the Thunder come in with 7 days of rest. So do the Pacers come in and start out faster or have a hot start where the Thunder might take a little bit to get into the flow of the game? You might think that's the case with a team that hasn't played in a week. But the history, the data shows me that's not the case. I looked up, going back to 2003. If we look at teams in the NBA playoffs that are playing on 7 days or more of rest, when you are at home, off of a 7-day break in the NBA playoffs or more, because some of these teams had 8 days off. Some of these teams had 9 days off. But the Thunder come in with a week, 7 days of rest. Those home teams in the playoffs are 21-5 straight up. They are 19-7 against the spread. Now you're asking, well, what's the average line in these games? Because it obviously has to matter. And yeah, you're right, it does. On average, these 26 teams are 8.3-point favorites. And that's right in line with what we have for the Thunder as a 9-point favorite in game number one. These teams are 21-5, winning the games by an average of 13 points per game. They are covering the spread 19 times, 19-7 ATS. That's 73% against the spread. Covering by an average of 5 points per game. And when you look at the first halves, just like we saw with 9-point favorites in general in the NBA Finals, teams coming off long breaks, the rest factor here, 7 days or more, they dominate the first halves. They win the first halves by an average of, let's see, 4 points in the first quarter and over 5 points in the second quarter. We're talking about 9 points of margin in the first halves of these games for the teams that are coming off of the 7 day break or more, like the Oklahoma City Thunder are here against the Indiana Pacers. So a couple of ways I want to play this game. Number one, I like the Thunder in the first half. I'll lay the -5 on the Thunder in the first half. I also want to take a shot here. And if you've been following along here with me on VSiN and you follow along on Twitter at Scott's On Air, I'm a big proponent of the wire-to-wire bets. Now, DraftKings offers wire-to-wire. Some other sportsbooks do as well. And what wire-to-wire means is that the team has to have the lead at the end of every quarter. That doesn't mean that they have to win every quarter. Obviously, it means you have to win the first quarter and you have to win the game. But if you build up a big enough lead in the first quarter, you could lose the second quarter and still be leading at half. You could lose the third quarter and still be leading at the end of the third quarter if you build up a big enough lead. So it's not about winning each individual quarter. It's just having the lead at the end of every quarter. You can bet the Thunder to win wire to wire in game number one plus 115. That's a great way, in my opinion, of playing a team that's over minus 400 odds to win the game, minus 9-point favorites in the game. They're minus 5-point favorites in the first half. You could play the double result, which is they win the first half and then they win the game. And that's, what, minus 250 around there, minus 235 or so? Or take a shot at the wire-to-wire, plus 115. I like that bet a lot. Thunder wire-to-wire in game number one, plus 115. Because I think that more times than not, that's how this game plays out. Thunder jump out to a big lead, then they have the lead at the end of every quarter. I'm not saying that's how the entire series is going to play out, but for game number one, that's what I like. I already love the Thunder in the first half. So I think this is a fun way of getting at the Thunder for the first quarter, first half. And speaking of that, to that end, if your book doesn't offer wire-to-wire bets, you might be able to get creative and do same-game parlays. For example, BetMGM does not offer a wire-to-wire bet. But they will allow you to build a same game parlay. And so what you can do is build a same game parlay by doing Thunder Moneyline for the first quarter, Thunder Moneyline for the first half, and Thunder Moneyline for the full game. Now on MGM, if you build those three legs, it's minus 130. So obviously the better bet is the plus 115 up on DraftKings. But in the other book instance, when we build the same game parlay on MGM, or if you build it on, let's say you build it on Caesars or whatever, you take the third quarter out of the equation, if that means anything to you. So like it gives you a little bit of breathing room if, you know, the team, the Pacers come back and they wind up taking a lead at the end of the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter. So it gives you that little bit of cushion, I guess. Not that I think that's a realistic scenario, because I do believe, like, if the Thunder win the first half, the first quarter in the first half, it's because they built up this big lead that they're not going to be trailing going into the fourth quarter. But plus 115 up on DraftKings for the wire-to-wire bet, I think it's a fun way to get at game number one. Also, taking a look at the series, we have now, obviously, the awards market for the MVP, and with the Thunder being minus 700, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is minus 600 to be the MVP. Now, if the Thunder win this series, it's not going to be anybody but Shai that's winning the MVP. I just can't see it being anybody else. I don't think anybody can see it being anybody else. If the Pacers win the series, there's arguments to be made. Halliburton's plus 750. Pascal Siakam, the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, is plus 1,600. And those two guys would certainly be the two that you would be going back and forth between. But instead of playing this market and throwing a flyer out there on a Pacers player or throwing, you know, obviously you're not going to risk all your money here on Shea. What about playing the series prop market? Shea is minus 3,500 to be the series points leader. How ridiculous is that? But you can look at the series three-pointer leader. Tyrese Halliburton's your favorite at minus 125. Rebounds leader, Chet Holmgren, is your favorite at minus 185. Halliburton's minus 900 to lead in assists. My goodness. But there might be some fun bets to be made in those futures markets, because maybe we don't go with the favorites and we can make arguments for other players to wind up leading in those statistical categories throughout the course of the series. Want to remind you guys, the final jewel of the Triple Crown is here. It's the Belmont Stakes, and there's no better time to bet the races than right now with FirstBet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus. Just use promo code VSIN200, whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport. FirstBet has all the tools to evaluate your game. Download the app or go to firstbet.com/VSIN to sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VSIN, promo code VSIN200 for your $200 bonus. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSIN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Cashing Out on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always on Twitter at ScottsOnAir. You can hit us all up on the network at VSIN Live as we continue the conversation on the NBA Finals. Game number one coming up on Thursday in OKC, where the Thunder are a 9-point favorite over the Indiana Pacers. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, longtime NBA player and my former co-host on the Four Letter Network when we hosted an NBA Insider Show. He's Ryan Hollins joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on Cashing Out. Ryan, what's going on, man? I mean, it's been a fun NBA playoffs. You're ready for these finals after a couple of days off?
Yeah, no, we should have a good one. I'm sorry there's no L.A., New York, Texas, or Florida, but this is going to be a good NBA finals. This has been one of the better NBA seasons that we had seen in years, man.
And it just goes to show you, like, yes, you mentioned the big markets not involved. Look, as a Knicks fan, I obviously wanted the Knicks to be in the NBA Finals. I'm sure the generic NBA fan wanted the Knicks to be in the Finals. But from a pure basketball standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, these are two really fun teams to watch. Of course, the Pacers, with the way that they play, the pace in which they play, and the Thunder, who put up all-time historic numbers this year. These are going to be fun games regardless of what the average basketball fan thinks.
Yeah, it is. And you have, it's Oklahoma City's defense and the MVP versus the ball movement and offense of the Pacers. Both teams play deep. We're going to crown a new champion, a new name, a new superstar. Is it going to be Shea? Is it going to be Halliburton or Siakam? So, I'm telling you, man, this is just gold that we have, and we're going to be looking for these two teams to be good for some years to come.
Oh, for sure. And the Thunder, they're already the favorites to win it again. To win it next year. I'm crowning them already, Ryan, but they are overwhelming favorites here in this series. Minus 700 to win the series. It's happened now 11 times in the NBA Finals that we've had this heavy of a favorite. Those teams are 10-1. The only upset was the Pistons that beat the Lakers in 04. That was the only upset we had with a team that was favored this heavily going into the finals. I know the market says one thing and our eyes maybe tell us another, but in your mind, do the Thunder deserve to be this heavy of a favorite over this Pacers team here in the finals?
Not at all. And the reason I say it is they're inexperienced still. And I get everybody's been saying that. I know the Pacers have been up and down, but the biggest thing is a guy who's played the game and been in these situations, the Pacers are battle tested, dude. They do not mind being down 20 points. They don't mind coming back. They don't mind stepping up and hitting big shots. And they're one of those teams that you can never, ever rule out. In Oklahoma City, for the most part, they've been blasting the opposition. If this ends up being tight, you're going to have to question how Oklahoma City executes when things are on the line.
That's a tremendous point, because the Pacers have shown they're the best clutch team here in these playoffs, with the three historic wins that they had in these playoffs, where we talk about teams that have never come back being down as much as they've been down late in these games. 7 points with a minute left, 9 points with 90 seconds left. It doesn't matter how much they're down. The Pacers have come back. What do the Pacers have to do, though, to avoid getting in those situations against a Thunder team that is known for stretching leads?
Well, they got to get the pace up and down. And you want to make Oklahoma City have to score with you. You got to keep Shea off the free throw line. And again, I'm challenging somebody else to beat you, not name Shea. Challenging Oklahoma City to, you know, hit those open threes, take care of the basketball. And again, speed the game up. I think if you're the Pacers, that's a big key.
So if it's not Shea and someone else has to step up for the Thunder, who are you looking for that second player to be? Who's that second alpha that's going to show up here for the Thunder?
Dude, the fact that you're asking me, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to be Jalen Williams.
Yep.
But we're not quite sure. Mm-hmm. And he plays off the energy, the transition. He's a dog on the basketball. But when you're going, all right, who else is it going to be? That's the challenge. And the one thing, I don't think Minnesota even properly prepared them, because Minnesota's great on the ball. They're versatile. They move the ball like the Pacers do. So I don't even think they properly prepared Oklahoma City for what they're about to see in the Pacers. They are a well-run team, man. They get the ball to the hot hand. They move it. They hit shots. It's very intriguing, man. And again, we hadn't seen this style of basketball in a while.
That's a great point. Ryan Hollins, 10-year NBA vet, joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on Cashing Out here on VSiN as we preview the NBA Finals. From a coaching perspective, do we give a slight edge to Rick Carlisle as from an X's and O's perspective of getting his team prepared for a game?
Man, Rick is a dog. I play for Rick. He can draw those X's and O's with the best of them. He's a unique coach where he can coach a championship and some veterans, and he can also coach a rebuild. And it looks like the Pacers are somewhat in between. They got some youth, but their guys are a little older, and they're looking to get over the top. But Rick is a genius, man. He's a different type of cat. He'll go. I remember we'd go into the lobby of hotels. There'd be a piano. Rick plays fluent piano. Like, he's a basketball certified genius. Mark Daigneault is unbelievable what he's doing over there. No one can question the way that he's taught ball movement and defense and the culture there in Oklahoma City. But you would have to give that nod. Remember what Rick did years back to LeBron James. Rick Carlisle's responsible for LeBron James being who he is, because he embarrassed LeBron in those finals and forced LeBron James to be better, and he is. Make no mistake there, but Rick Carlisle's man is certified as it gets.
He is absolutely tremendous. You know, everyone wants to crown, you mentioned earlier, the next superstar, right? I mean, Shea's already there. I mean, he wins the MVP, and there was no doubt about it that he was going to win the MVP over Jokic, despite some contention from some NBA pundits. But Shea had the unbelievable season, and he really has stepped into that mold of being a true top 10 NBA superstar. It seems like in these playoffs, a lot of people want to elevate Tyrese Halliburton into that stratosphere. Is he there yet? Is it fair to put Tyrese Halliburton in that conversation with the top 10, top 15 players in the NBA?
Man, it's a weird time to say this because all of the guys that we've known that are certified, we talked about earlier being certified, like Rick Carlisle, mm-hmm. like they're getting older.
Yep.
So it's not a question of how good they are or if they're Hall of Famers, but physically, where do they stand? And Halliburton and Brunson and these high IQ, these young stars are the ones winning and knocking these dudes off. So it's an intriguing conversation, man. Hey, LeBron is home. Steph Curry is home. Halliburton's still here to stay, man. Hey, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown ain't there. So, again, respect has to be shown to Halliburton. And the one thing, the way that he plays, the way that Indiana plays, it's not the sexiest brand of basketball. So, you know, you're going to have to appreciate winning. And you're going to have some debates going forward if Indy messes up and wins this thing.
If he does win this thing, is Tyrese Halliburton the MVP or Pascal Siakam? Siakam wins the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. And I think that you can argue it was neck and neck between those two. But which of those players has to be the alpha if they're going to upset the Thunder and win this series? Is it as easy as saying it's Halliburton, or is it a guy with championship experience like Pascal Siakam?
The gold is in the tough part when you're scheming for teams. You know, you always feel like if we take this guy out, we win. And I think what Indy showed you is that, okay, you take out Halliburton, he struggles to shoot, they can win with Siakam. And I remember we're playing at Miami Heat, we're playing LeBron, and he wasn't fight LeBron yet. And the one thing that we felt like with the Celtics and Rondo and KG and Paul and Ray and those guys, we felt like if we could take out Dwayne Wade, LeBron hadn't shown you that he was clutch yet. He hadn't shown you that he could finish. Let's take out Dwayne Wade. Mm-hmm. And then LeBron became LeBron and lit us up. But I think the goal with the Pacers is that they can play both ways. I don't know, and we talked about this earlier, if you take out Shea and you make Shea work and you make him a passer, you know, is Chet good enough off the bounce to make plays when you run him off the three-point line? And Jalen Williams going to be able to get to his double moves and get downhill and play with his physicality and be efficient enough to lead you? So I think those questions present themselves, and we know with Indiana, they can win other ways.
Versatility might be their biggest strength here in this series. 10-year NBA vet Ryan Hollins, appreciate the time. Enjoy the series, my friend. It's going to be a good one.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, brother. Good talking to you, dude. Been too long, man.
It's Cashing Out here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to 10-year NBA vet Ryan Hollins, who is an analyst for the Houston Rockets now, does a lot of NBA coverage, and had great insight there on the NBA Finals. And he's pretty high on the Indiana Pacers, and with good reason. You know, the Pacers are obviously a team that has shown a ton of fight here in these NBA playoffs. And a lot of people writing them off, including maybe myself, writing them off here in the finals against a heavily overmatched, or maybe overmatched is a bad term, but a heavily favored Oklahoma City Thunder team. But can the Pacers pull one out of their hat? Can they steal a couple of games here and make this a series? It wouldn't surprise me if it happened. I just don't think that they're going to win three games in this series. I think if we're picking a series spread or a series total games, Thunder -1.5 games is -275. Another way to get at that bet, if you can shop around and find maybe a lower price, is Thunder win game one and then win the series. That's -275 also. Thunder -2.5 games, well, that is -140. Total games in the series, under 5.5, -135. To me, that might be the bet to be made. Thunder win in five. Thunder could sweep them. But maybe Indy gets one at home. Or maybe they come out and they surprise you. and they could steal a game in Oklahoma City. 9-point dogs, it's happened before. Actually, it hasn't. Not in the NBA Finals. We've seen it in the NBA playoffs, but in the finals, with teams that are 9-point favorites or more in the NBA Finals, those teams have never lost. They are 7-0 straight up in the NBA Finals. They're 4-2-1 ATS, but they're a perfect 7-0 straight up. Now, if we just look in the just in the history of the playoffs, any team that is a 9-point favorite or greater, 197-26 in the history of the database. That's 88.3% straight up. They are 57.7% ATS. If we just go recent history and we go with the post-COVID season starting with 2021, 33-10 straight up if you are a 9-point favorite or greater in the NBA playoffs. Although what's interesting is these teams are only, let's see, these teams are only 19-24 ATS. How about that? So that's interesting. That's, if you like the Pacers, good trend for you there. But again, perfect 7-0 in the NBA Finals. 9-point favorites or greater, which is what we see here from the Thunder. I was looking at the markets, the prop markets for these NBA Finals. Some of the things that I find interesting are the DraftKings has a whole slew of these where you can look at the player props. And we talked about this a little bit before with the rebound leader, points leader, assist leader, all that fun stuff. Three-pointers leader. Aaron Nesmith is plus 425 as the second favorite behind Tyrese Haliburton to have the most threes in the series. I mean, we saw what Nesmith did in that game one against the Knicks, but I mean, take that game out of it. I mean, he's still shooting the ball pretty well. Haliburton was, you know, 4, 5, 6, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 threes in the series against the Knicks. Okay. I mean, is that going to be enough to have the most threes in this series? Probably not. I mean, Nesmith, okay, yeah, he had that monster game number one where he was 8 of 9 from three-point range, and then 2 of 3, 1 of 3, 2 of 6, 1 of 5, 2 of 4, obviously dealing with the ankle injury that certainly limited him throughout the remainder of that series. And now with a couple of days off, you wonder if the ankle heals up. He's feeling a little bit better. You know, he's got confidence to shoot the three. I'm just saying, I don't necessarily want to bet minus 125 on Tyrese Haliburton to have the most threes in this series. I'd rather take a flyer on somebody else to make the most threes in this series. I'm not laying minus 125 on Haliburton. I want to take a plus money price here on somebody else. Now, there's other markets you can bet into as well when it comes to the NBA Finals, and that's the per game numbers. So points per game, there's props on players to average 20 points per game, players to average 25 points per game, players to average 30 points per game. How about this insane number? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is minus 450 to average 30 points per game. It's just an absurd price. Crazy, right? But when it comes to these per game averages, here's what you have to handicap. How long is this series going to be? If it's a shorter series, you want to bet players that are capable of putting up like one monster game. Because in a shorter series, if it's only 4 or 5 games, well, one monster performance is going to skew the average in a 4 or 5 game sample. If the series goes 6 or even 7, the more games, the more opportunity you have to kind of lessen your numbers. Take Tyrese Haliburton, for example. If you look at what he did in that Knicks series, in the first 4 games, he averaged 25 points. And then in game number 5, he had the disappearing act where he only scored 8 points. That dropped his average down significantly. He had 21 points in game number 6. He winds up averaging 21 points for the series. But if you just looked at games 1 through 4, he was averaging 25. So if the series ended there, It's a different way to look at it, right? So when it comes to these per game numbers, and right now we have points per game, you can do assists per game, rebounds per game, threes, all this stuff. Think about the player and which team that they're on, and if they're capable of having one big outburst, if you believe it's going to be a shorter series like I do. Because one game outburst could skew the numbers. You know, if I want to bet Tyrese Haliburton to average 25 points per game, think about this. It's plus 650 on Haliburton to average 25 points per game. All that might take is one game in which he scores 35 to 40 points. Is he capable of having that one game? If Haliburton has one game that he blows up and has 35, 38, 40 points, well, then you could survive a couple of 20-point performances because it's still going to average out to 25 points. Plus 650? I'm not saying it's a bet I'm going to make, but plus 650? Siakam, by the way, to average 25 points per game is plus 280. To average 20 points per game, Tyrese Haliburton's plus 150, which is not crazy. And again, he averaged 21 in the series against the Knicks. He averaged only 17 in the series against the Cavs, and he averaged only 17 in the series against Milwaukee. Obviously has come on as the playoffs have rolled on. Assists per game to average 8. Wow, this is unbelievable. To average 8 assists per game, Tyrese Haliburton is minus 1,200. To average 10 assists per game, Haliburton is even money. I mean, that's crazy. These odds sometimes. Haliburton in the Knicks series averaged 10.5. In the Cavs series, he only averaged 7. And in the Bucks series, he averaged 11.6. So in the postseason, yeah, we can look at his assists and see what he's, you know, if he can average 10. I mean, the fact that it's even money, you don't even get a plus money price on him to average 10 assists per game. And again, shorter series, all it takes is one big game. One big game can skew the average in a shorter span. So if you think it's going to be a shorter series, maybe look at some of the guys that are capable of having one game outbursts. Because you can get a fat plus money price on some of these lesser known players to average big numbers if they are capable, like Nesmith is, of that one game where he had 8 3-pointers. Something to keep an eye on. If you want to know where the real money is going, well, unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just the public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. You can see the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month at vsin.com/subscribe. Update you on Major League Baseball news coming up next. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Always on Twitter at Scott's On Air. Hit us up on the network at VSiN Live as we update you on the latest around Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees will be without closer Luke Weaver for 4 to 6 weeks as he is dealing with a hamstring injury. Now, Weaver was in the bullpen warming up for the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball against the Dodgers, but in the bullpen while he was warming up. I guess he felt they tweaked something and he just wasn't comfortable. And so the Yankees decided, all right, well, we're not going to put him into the game and we're going to go with, going to get the three outs a different way. And so it turns out they undergo some tests and boom, you see the tweet there from Jeff Passan of ESPN. Luke Weaver dealing with a hamstring injury. He will be sidelined 4 to 6 weeks, which means the New York Yankees will then turn back to Devin Williams to be their closer. Now, what a season it has been for Devin Williams. The Yankees acquired Devin Williams from the Brewers, part of their offseason overhaul, where they lose out on re-signing Juan Soto. And instead of the Juan Soto signing, they spent their money elsewhere. And you know what? I've made the argument, and I don't think anybody's going to argue it any other way. The Yankees got better. And we know what Juan Soto's not having a great year with the Mets, but that's besides the point. Even if the Yankees did re-sign Juan Soto, I think they're better constructed in the moves that they made instead of re-signing Soto. Instead of re-signing Soto, the Yankees got Paul Goldschmidt, who's having an incredible season, Cody Bellinger, who is having a decent contributing season for the Yankees, Max Fried, who is up there amongst the favorites to win the American League Cy Young Award, and in the wake of Garrett Cole's injury, where would the Yankees be without Max Fried right now? And I don't know if they signed Fried if they signed Juan Soto back. And then the other move they made was bringing in Devin Williams to be their closer. And Devin Williams is a guy who, in Milwaukee, was one of the elite closers in all of Major League Baseball. Last season did not end well for Devin Williams. His lasting memory is Pete Alonso hitting the home run in the playoffs off of him and the Brewers being eliminated by the New York Mets. Well, yips, I guess you want to call them, translated over to the start of the season for Devin Williams in Yankee pinstripes. And the early part of the year did not go well for Devin Williams at all. He was the Yankee closer at the start of the year. And right off the bat, he has a bad outing where he gives up a run on two hits in a game against his former team, the Brewers. But you know what? You're like, guy still got the save. All right. Former team. We'll chalk it up. Whatever. Then he has a clean outing against the Pirates before blowing a game against Pittsburgh and losing it for the Yankees. Then giving up 3 runs in 2/3 of an inning against the Tigers. And then later on, after getting a couple of saves, has a terrible outing against the Tampa Bay Rays, blows a save against the Blue Jays. His ERA is up to 11.25. And the Yankees say, you know what? Maybe this guy is not built to close. Not in New York, not right now. And so Devin Williams gets demoted from the closer role. Luke Weaver takes over and is phenomenal. He's great. And you know something? Devin Williams had a rough outing against the Padres, but besides that, Devin Williams was pretty good in the role of the setup man. He's got 6 holds since he took over to be the setup man. He even got a couple of wins in that time span. And in 10 or in 12 innings or so, we'll actually call it 10 innings or so, because I want to talk about how he was prior to coming into an Angels game. But he had gone, 10 or so innings, only allowing 3 runs. And then he had a span of 8 scoreless outings against the Angels last weekend. He does give up 2 runs, but he still gets the save as the Yankees win 3-2. They had a 3-0 lead going into the bottom of the 9th inning in Anaheim, and he gives up 2 runs in the bottom of the 9th. And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh goodness, Devin Williams at it again. but he gets out of the jam. Yankees get the win. Then against the Dodgers, picks up a hole or two. And now he is going to be back to being the closer. This is an opportunity. This is a moment for Devin Williams. He could seize the moment and he could regain his status as an elite closer in this game. Or he could fold under the pressure once again and show that once Luke Weaver is healthy to return in 4 to 6 weeks, that he doesn't deserve to get the closure role back, or that Luke Weaver will regain the closure role. Or maybe the Yankees just go closure by committee and they don't trust Devin Williams over this time span. But the moment is now for Williams to step up and become the closer that he was brought to New York to be. And we'll see if he's able to do that. Yankees were off here on Monday, and they will begin a series coming up here on Tuesday where they will take on the Cleveland Guardians for three games in the Bronx. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be joined by our very own Greg Peterson. We'll preview the Tuesday slate of games in Major League Baseball. The Yankees were with the Tigers as the favorites to have the most wins in the month of June. And the Tigers off to a 2-0 start. The Yankees got one win in June as they did pick up that win in the final game of the series, the Sunday Night Baseball game against the Dodgers. But they will begin this three-game set here against Cleveland before taking on Boston for three games. So a six-game homestand. And then they will head to Kansas City, then to Boston, then a four-game set in the Bronx against the Angels, three against the Orioles, three at Cincinnati, three games at home against the A's. That's how they will wrap up the month. How do they now perform without their closer, Luke Weaver? That is a big question mark. A big question mark hanging over the heads of the New York Yankees. But that's a big story right now in Major League Baseball, is what will the Yankees do without their closer? See how Devin Williams does trying to regain the confidence to be that closer now. We talked about the Tigers, another blowout winner here on Monday. And that's something that we just have grown accustomed to here in Major League Baseball in 2025. We have had more wins by double digits this season than in any year in the database at this point in the season. So prior to June, and we can roll it over here into the first 2 days of June because we had a double-digit win by the Tigers, but we have now had 47 wins by 10 or more runs through the start of the season to now June 2nd, more than any other season in baseball in the same time span. 2019, there were 39 double-digit wins in the first 2 months plus of the season. We've had 46 this year. Last year, there were only 26 double-digit wins in the same time span. This has been a ridiculous start to the Major League Baseball season. We know about how much the favorites have dominated. If you look at just, just home favorites in general. If we look at home favorites in this part of the season, and we want to look at the best record for home favorites through this part of the season, we are at the third best start for home favorites in the database at 61%. It's been, what a season it's been. What a season it has been. Don't forget, you guys can start your day with an edge and a game plan. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast is your first look at the day's betting lines, sharp action, and market movement in just 15 minutes. You're going to get everything you need to know to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves all before your morning coffee's gone. Hosted by VSiN's team of trusted betting experts, the Daily Morning Bets podcast is fast, focused, and built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast wherever you get your podcasts from or on the VSiN Watch app. The sharpest way to start your betting day is the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's cashing out here on VSiN.